Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this 4/18/18. 4/18/18. April the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's an Insight Wednesday, so we're going to talk about an insight that you may not have thought about, and we're doing it for one purpose, and that's for your comfort. We are having the last Law and Gospel this week, because tomorrow, Share-a-thon, and we hope you're tuning into that, Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And we will be back on Monday live in order to share with you insights from the Bible readings for the next Sunday of Easter. But what are we going to be talking about today that I found to be a real good insight? One of the things I do in preparation for a sermon, I keep reading the text until I find something I was unaware of. Because if I was unaware of it, perhaps you might be also. The text was from 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Now, it's one thing for God to regard us as a child of God. But have you ever noticed how the world never or hardly ever considers us as children of God? Why is that? Well, I'll tell you what the first answer is. The first answer is they don't recognize us as Christians. Well, for example, I was coming into the studio a few days ago, and individual was walking beside me going up the sidewalk into the building, and he said, "Hi, Pastor Tom," and I didn't recognize him, and he was one of my former field workers, Reverend Meggers, and we had a very good talk going in, but I didn't recognize him because he looked different because of age, obviously. That's how a lot of Christians would answer the question, why don't people recognize us as children of God? Because we seem to be different than what they're expecting. We don't act like children of God. Now, I have always had a problem with that. What does it mean to act like a child of God? You go around with your hands folded all the time, or you have a halo above your head, or you're always witnessing to people, or, well, what does that mean? I've even heard some Christians say, "Pastor, I really want to be a better Christian," which kind of gets me thinking, oh, really? I don't think there's degrees of being a child of God, in the sense that you're a better child or a worse child. Oh, I know what some people are going to say. There are some Christians that really act very well. They're polite. They're people of integrity. You have other Christians who have to go to jail because of some crime they committed. Isn't that a difference between being a child of God? Well, let me ask you this. You have two children. One of them is quite obedient to you, but the other one is really a rebel, disobedient. Are you, as a parent, when somebody asks and they see your disobedient child acting wrong, and they say, "Is that your child?" And you say, "No, that other one is my child." Nobody ever says that. There's not a distinction. In children, you might say, well, he's more behaved than the rebel you're watching, but that doesn't make him less of a child. There's some other reason why the world does not recognize us as children of God. And it's not because we don't act like children of God. We do act like children of God. But there is a reason the world does not know us. And that's found in the same chapter I was reading from 1 John chapter 3. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Wow. That's what the actual verse says. Because people don't know Jesus, they don't know us. Now, how do you make any sense out of that? You make sense out of it because you need to understand who Jesus not only is, but why he came to earth, why he became incarnate, why he died on the cross, why he rose from the dead. Then you will get an idea of how we are children of God. We are not children of God because we do a real good job in imitating Jesus. You know, there are some religions that say that the way to be saved is you just follow Jesus as an example. And they'll even maybe use something like the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking about, murder is more than killing someone. It's also having a bad thought or a bad word against someone. And at the end of that chapter, after Jesus goes through a lot of the commandments showing how we disobey them by thought and word as well as deed, he says, then you will be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. See, that obviously gives a conclusion to many people who don't understand law and gospel that the Sermon on the Mount is how we are to become children of God by starting to not sin as much as we're sinning. But see, the Sermon on the Mount, when it's going through those commandments, Jesus is speaking the law. He even started the sermon that way. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you don't have a ghost of a chance of getting into heaven. And then he says, you want to know how to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Then he goes through the Sermon on the Mount. And by the time he's done, boy, people are afraid of God because they know they cannot meet God's expectations. And by the way, that's the purpose of preaching the law, to get people afraid of God. Afraid of God, why? Because when you fear God, then you know that he has total control over you. Therefore, when the gospel is heard, how God's total control brings you salvation, that's called good news. Martin Luther, when he does his explanation of the Ten Commandments, remember, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. I know someone has truly repented when they have a fear of God, because they recognize two things. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal salvation. And the second thing they realize, I cannot stop from sinning. I may get better in certain areas. So who is Jesus? What was his purpose? Why did the Father say more than once, this is my beloved Son? Because Jesus came to earth to do a task that you and I are unable to do. And that is to be saved. That's found in Mark 10, when the rich man asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells him, just obey the commandments. And here's one that you're really bad at. And the rich man goes away sorrowful. The disciples say, who then can be saved? If this rich man that God has blessed with riches, who attends the synagogue all the time and probably gives the biggest of tithes, if he can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus' answer is, and remember the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' answer is, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, for what is impossible for us to do, God does. Now, this gives you a reason why the world does not recognize us as children of God. Because they think being a child of God, you should act like a child of God. Now, I don't disagree with that. It's just that the world's understanding of how to act like a child of God is contrary to the Bible. They think, well, if you're a child of God, then you'll be really having a wonderful life. You'll be doing good things. You'll be giving all kinds of contributions to churches, to KFUO, etc. You'll be a man of integrity. People will be able to trust your word. And then the more they get to know you, guess what? You're not like that. This is a true story. I once had a visitor come to our church, and I met him at the door, and he said, well, I'm interested in trying to find a church. And he went through our worship service. I met with him afterwards, and I said, well, would you like to become a member of the congregation? And he looked at me and says, no, I will not be becoming a member of this congregation. I asked him why. He said, well, when I got into church, I saw a person sitting in the pew who was my former employer. And when I worked for him, he was very mean to me. He was not a nice man. And so I'm not going to join a church where you have a bunch of hypocrites that attend. Now, there's the world talking about what they consider a Christian to be. And when they say a hypocrite, here's how they understand what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who attends church, praises the Lord, confesses his sin, wants to do good, and then the rest of the week he's a sinner. They don't consider that to be a Christian. That is a hypocrite. By the way, the word hypocrite means to be an actor. And when I hear that, I look at them and say, you have not described a hypocrite, you have described a Christian. See, this is why the world does not recognize us as children of God, because it doesn't know Jesus. It doesn't know that his mission was to come to earth in order to restore us to being children of God. Adam and Eve were children of God in the Garden of Eden. They made a choice. They ate of the forbidden fruit. And immediately, remember, they went to hide in bushes where God was. I mean, this is how crazy they were, how well the devil had taken over them. And because God so loved them, the first thing he told through the serpent was that Eve would have a child that would lead to a savior. In fact, Eve thought, if you look at chapter 4 of Genesis, that Cain was the Messiah. I have gotten a man, the Lord. That's the way it can be translated. But Cain was the first murderer. He wasn't the Messiah. That didn't come about until the birth of Jesus with the Virgin Mary. At any rate, what we're talking about here is the world will not recognize you as a Christian because they expect you to act in a way that they think Christians act. And what do we do every Sunday? We confess that we don't act the way the world thinks a Christian should act, that we're poor, that we're miserable sinners. We deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Why doesn't the world recognize we Christians for what we are? Well, the Bible says because they did not know Jesus. You see, if a Christian is a person who is really quite good in his behavior, in his integrity, in his actions, we don't have a need for Jesus. Now, there are some religions that say, well, the grace of God comes to you, and they'll take that verse, with man it is impossible to save oneself, but with God all things are possible. You know how they understand that verse? With man all by himself, he hasn't got a ghost of a chance, but with the help of God, he is enabled to start becoming a different person, so God begins to like him, love him, and then save him. This is so contrary to the scripture, because if your salvation is conditional on the basis of some work you have done, then it's not the salvation from God. A lot of times, in talking to atheists, I like doing that. Because my primary question to them, okay, I believe in God. What is it about the God I believe in that you don't believe? And invariably, they'll come back with something along these lines. Well, I cannot believe in a God that says, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, then I'm not going to send you to heaven. Nobody's going to tell me what to do in order to get to heaven. And I enjoy looking at the atheist and saying, guess what? I don't believe in that God either. Now he really gets confused. What do you mean by that? And I say, the reason I'm a child of God isn't because of my behavior. It isn't because of my good works. It's because God adopted me without any strings attached. He did it freely. That's what we mean by grace. And we are saved through faith. What is faith? Faith isn't believing that God exists. That's not the essence of faith. It's not even believing that Jesus exists. It's not even believing that Jesus died on the cross or rose from the dead. No, the essence of faith is to believe the promises connected to that death and resurrection. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for me. When he rose from the dead, he rose for my justification. So if you were accurate in describing a child of God and you wanted to use a worldly analogy so people could help us understand what children of God are, I would use the parents who have a kind of rebellious, disobedient child. It really doesn't matter how rebellious that child becomes. If they are a begotten child of the family or adopted, as we are with Christ, then that misbehavior doesn't minimize that we are children of God. No, we remain a child of God regardless of the level of our sin. Now, there's no doubt that the more you love Jesus, the more you will fight against sin. But that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And a lot of the sins I used to do when I was a kid, like drag racing cars and things like that, I don't do anymore. But I got another set of sins. So the devil never stops. He always attacks us at our weakest place. Now, for some reason, my wife and I, we don't really enjoy liquor that much or beer. I may drink one beer a month. And in fact, for a while, it was about 8 months, I hadn't drank one. So that's not a weakness he can get me at. So it's got to be other areas. And maybe it's pride. For example, there's no doubt that there's a lot of emails that I get of people complimenting long gospel or when I preach at congregations and things like that. So I always say when I'm preaching, there's two motivations. There's the new man motivation. That is, here's what I just read about this passage that really helped comfort me. I pray it will comfort you. Then there's the old man motivation that perhaps after they hear me preach or some of the radio programs, they'll start listening more to these and my numbers will start going up. Now, I don't have any control over the old Adam. In fact, the more you fight it, the more you realize what it is. I always enjoy that verse, "Thou shalt not covet." And Paul says, until I heard that, I wasn't coveting that much. But as soon as I heard that, then I began coveting once I understood what coveting was. You see, the law increases sin. Try that on one of your children. Tell them you're going to go outside for about 20 minutes, but you don't want them to go into the basement. I guarantee you, you'll go outside for 10 minutes. Depending on their age, they'll try and sneak in the basement to see what is down there that you don't want them to see. Now, you won't have anything down there. It's just a fact. Because by nature, we are rebellious against commands from someone else. That's called the old Adam. We want to be independent. And therefore, a lot of times when we hear a law, we gravitate towards breaking that law. Because that's the way we are built. That's a Christian. A Christian is a person who is a sinner. In the Bible, the word hypocrite does not refer to Christians who go to church on Sunday and then sin the rest of the week. No, that's just being a Christian. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite, from the word to act, being an actor, is somebody who pretends they are a Christian, but they know they are not. Now, that last part is really important. They know they are not a Christian, but they pretend to really be a believer. Like Pharisees, they knew they weren't Christians, but boy, did they think that they obeyed God. They thanked God that they weren't like sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, etc. And Jesus referred to them as hypocrites. What a big difference. So when we take a look at this passage, the reason people don't recognize you as a child of God is because two things. Number one, they have a different understanding of what a child of God should be acting like. And we don't act like children of God. And number two, and this is the main reason, is unbelievers don't know Jesus. They can't believe that Jesus would take a poor, miserable sinner and save them. It doesn't make any sense. It's against justice. What's justice? Getting what you deserve. Every religion is based on a God of justice. He gives you what you deserve. You start being nice. You start attending his worship. You start attending and giving tithes or money, guess what? He's going to like you. Then he can move to love you. And finally, to save you. And that's why in every religion, they will point to what they are doing as the reason why they are saved. And since Christians don't do properly, they cannot be children of God. But a child of God, from God's point of view, is an individual who is a sinner, an individual who does not really do sinless good works. And so he needs to have forgiveness. This insight is one that on Law and Gospel KFUO we bring to you. We try and do one every Wednesday. Mondays, we do the readings, which we'll do this next Monday. Tuesday, we work with Mark Smith on the hymn. Thursday, with Wes Reimnitz. And Friday, with Open Mic Friday, where you can call me. This week, because of the Share-a-thon, we will not be having live Law and Gospel. So it'll be next Monday where you'll hear from me again. By the way, we do encourage you to phone in during the Share-a-thon on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and contribute. Now, if you want to contribute to KFUO, but also contribute to Law and Gospel, then what we encourage you to do is listen carefully to the end of this program, and you'll hear how to write a check out to Concordia Mission Society. That way you get a tax deduction. And send it to me, Tom Baker, and the address is there. And guess what I'm going to do with the money? I'm going to give it to KFUO in order to support Law and Gospel. We have an amount that we pay KFUO. And we don't have any problem with that. We're not the only program that does that. So It's some way in which you can both support Long Gospel and you can support KFUO, because all the money we get goes right to them in order to meet the requirements of the payment that they're requesting. You want to get a hold of me? Long Gospel at longgospel101.com. Until Monday then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.